Welcome to the Orlando Lions Den Podcast. Your number one Orlando City podcast. For the fans, by the fans. For the fans, by the fans. Keeping you in the know on all things Orlando City since 2018.
Hello, hello. Welcome to another edition of Orlando Lions Den Podcast. It's your boy, Alex Brown, back on this week. Had some stuff going on last week. It's been a crazy, crazy week for me, but we're back after another non-loss. We kept the unbeaten streak going, so we got a lot to talk about tonight on our episode. Thank you for joining us again on episode 12 of Orlando Lions Den Podcast this year. Here with my boys, Mike and Cleon. Cleon made a late run over to my old stomping grounds in the Hunters Creek area down in South Orlando. How's it going, Cleon? How you doing?
Going all good, man. Going all good. Like I said, I had to make a little late run out here. I'm gonna do some manual labor for old moms over here. Anybody knows me, it's something I don't do. So, you know, that's all love. So I gotta help her out.
Hey, you never stop being a son. You know what I mean?
Never.
So, plus, you know, they pay the bills. You know, they employ you and you know they do good for you. I gotta wait till that lady comes back, and I wonder if she hit up old Mr. Chicken because she was going to Bermuda. I said, you gotta go. You gotta hit up the Mr. Chicken.
Well, if she did, I'm sure she paid her bill on like that Eddie over there.
Yeah, yeah. Of which I'll be getting a 10% royalty. I heard. So you know that's how it works. So expect my $2 check in the mail whenever you got it. So you said it's hot where you're at, but you still got the beanie on in true Cleon fashion.
Yeah, I gotta have the beanie on because you know, then it's time to shave today. So. My hair grows everywhere except for in the middle, so I can't be on here like Michael Jefferson.
You look like you're truly about to do some manual labor, and the best compliment ever. Mike, what's up, my man?
Oh, dude, chilling, man, chilling, feeling good. Be back with the boys. Wish we could, you know, not have to wait till stoppage time to get a result, since that's what it's been for the last couple weeks now, but working on some cool things behind the scenes for the pod, you know. Don't have full details yet, but y'all keep June 1st open on your calendars. We're trying to get something going right now with a local brewery. It's gonna be a good time.
Keep it open. Come out and support once we get the date set. We'll have more info on that. Like you said, Mike, we've been the Cardiac Cats, I feel like that's a good name when we win, but when you come back with a late draw or after mistakes that you kind of force on yourself, it doesn't really feel cardiac-y. Like, it just kind of feels
feels cardiac, you know, arrest, you know?
It kind of just feels, cardiac arrest because you ate too many Baconators or something. You self-imposed it, so, you know. It wasn't like the exciting cardiac arrest. It was like the high cholesterol cardiac arrest, so. we'll get a little bit more into that. First, we'll talk about or thank our sponsors. We'll start off with Eddie and Comparion Insurance, Liberty Mutual Company. Eddie works for Liberty Mutual. He's a field agent for them, and Comparion is just a company that can shop around multiple different companies, so not just exclusively Liberty Mutual. I recently was shopping my insurance because Eddie is my agent, but insurance is insane. I mean, I have liability only and got a 10-year-old vehicle and perfect driving record and I shopped around, and Eddie, even like a Progressive Geico State Farm, Eddie still has the best rate for me at Liberty Mutual. So sticking with them. And if you are wondering why your car insurance is going too high and wanting to shop it around, give Eddie a shout because he can at least make sure you're getting the best price and not throwing away money on stuff that you may never use. House insurance too. I know he's gotten some great rates recently for house insurance. Any sort of insurance, you got assets to protect, umbrella policy. Maybe you need some renter's insurance. I recently knew somebody who was renting a house and they were gone and the house burned down and my wife knew them and they didn't have renter's insurance and just makes it a big, big headache. You know, obviously you got GoFundMe and all that good stuff, but still it's nice to have an insurance policy to give you a replacement cost. So if you're looking for that life insurance too, hit up Eddie. His QR code's on the screen. You can DM the pod account. He controls that too a lot with the inbox. And hit him up at Eddie the Commish as well on Twitter. So feel free to give him a call or shoot him a message. We got Leo with the Epic Mortgage team powered by U Mortgage. Getting back in the game. Rates are starting to go down a little bit. I know I've been talking to him and he's been doing some refis and stuff like that. Important thing to mention about Leo, y'all, is he doesn't do just exclusively FHA and VHA, those standard loan or VA loans, those, you know, those standard loans. He does everything. So if you're a foreign national, if you know somebody coming in from another country that wants to maybe buy an investment property, maybe buy their first home, give Leo a call because he can give you all the different options. He's not just doing those standard mortgages. In fact, I work with the bank and, you know, they do a lot of those standard mortgages and Leo takes whatever they can do and he makes something happen. So if you are worried about your qualifications or what type of loan you can get, hit up Leo. There's his phone number on the screen, 407-844-7696. You can go to www.applywithleo.com and get his info there. We have Field Turf USA. We appreciate Field Turf. Been with us since the beginning. Obviously, they do a lot of those pitches and stuff around the country and the world, those hybrid pitches too. And they offer a great product that we see in a lot of different stadiums in the U.S. And then lastly, we have Fubo TV. If you're looking for, you know, a place that they offer a free package where they have theme channels. They offer a heck of a lot of sports packages, mostly soccer too. If you're looking to watch some of those random soccer leagues around the world, maybe look at Fubo TV. Use our QR code that's on the screen and that we link on the reply to the pod on the Twitter account. So that's with Fubo TV. All right. Thank you for our sponsors. Let's hop on into it. We'll talk about the late point in Montreal. Montreal, who's, you know, started the season a lot better. They got a new coach. They're one of the better teams. Have had some good wins along the way. And I personally, one of those matches where you go into it and you're like, if we get a draw, I'll be happy. And then when you get the draw, you're not as happy, I feel like, is what happened there. Felt like some self-inflicted wounds with the especially with the first goal. With Janssen getting lost, keeping the guy on, and he tracked back well, but Pedro didn't really have the faith, and Pedro got stuck in no man's land, give up the goal, and then we respond well. We get a penalty. Cartagena has a great interception in the midfield. Disses it off to Nico, and then Nico has a great pass, and Murillo has a great little touch to draw the penalty. So Faku, of course, it's got to be one of the top PK takers on the planet. There is without a doubt who has taken that one for his first MLS goal of the season. And we go into half 1-1. It was, you know, a game that was back and forth. We really looked pretty well, pretty good in the first half, in my opinion. We controlled a lot of the game, especially after that bad first really 10, 15 minutes. The first half was great. Second half was more leaning towards Montreal. They get a goal. Pedro doing Pedro things and parrying the ball to the only Montreal guy in the box. And Kyle Smith gets caught napping. But as a defender, you're not really expecting your goalkeeper to give the rebound literally directly to the only guy in the box. And other than that, I thought Kyle Smith had a good game. But once again, we immediately bounce back. Martin Ojeda comes in off the bench and creates a chance, and it's a chance that we needed, and Angulo puts it in for his first goal of the MLS season. So we end with a 2-2 draw. I want to hear what your guys' thoughts are. Do you think, you know, are you putting a lot of it on Pedro? Are you putting a lot of it on the, you know, the mistakes with Kyle and Janssen, you know, at first? Was a little bit of both. Cleon, let me start with you. You know, overall, are you happy with the draw, and where do you think things could have turned out differently for us?
I mean, I can't say I'm happy with the draw. But I mean, I'm happier with a draw than the alternative, which was a fat L after what we should have already pulled a draw, and then we threw it right back to him, and then we pulled it out again. We had to snatch that draw from the draws of a defeat twice during that match. So it was. I mean, it could have been worse, man. But it's Montreal. I know they're not as bad as people thought they would be, but with all the losses we were dropping early, I just feel like we have to be. I understand people's always, and I say this every year, because we go on these type of streaks. It was like, oh, we're unbeaten, but I mean, we're not really winning either. So it's like, you know what I mean? Like a unbeaten streak when it's mostly all draws is not the same as unbeaten and we're winning every week in and week out. You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, I mean, it could have been worse, man. But it's the same old for me. It was, like I said last week, it's like it's hard to give a lot of people to give Pedro credit for, like, oh, great save, this and that, or whatever. But I mean, he's saving us from himself. You know what I mean? Because we keep having things early in the match, and then we got to come back from it. So, I mean, you know, he could have done a lot better on that first one. And then, you know, yeah, he's picking it up. He's growing into the match, but your goalkeeper, we can't really afford for you to be growing into the match when you're costing goals in the beginning. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, he's got one of the worst save percentages in the league. It's been
– somebody has worse? I saw us come into that, and we was in, like, the 50s, bro.
Yeah, I think it was, like, 58 or 59. And he started that way last year, too, to be fair. He only improved at the very end. And got it into like the low 70s, but it was not, you know, it felt like another result where we could have had three if Pedro doesn't shoot us in the foot twice. I understand Jansen keeps a guy on, but I think Jansen had it covered, honestly. And even still, you keep the angle and you make the offensive player go in to where Jansen's coming from, or you make him, you know, convert from that tough angle. Pedro's better at shot stopping. He's not even giving himself the opportunity to stop a shot in that first sequence. So it was a rather easy goal. It was a great finish because Jansen had covered on the goal line and the guy had to get it up off the ground. And it was a great finish, but definitely felt preventable. We've been crappy off the starts. Just no excuse for how we started matches. But like you said, Glenn, I'll take the draw on the road. I think it's a big result. You know, going into this two-game stretch with DC and Montreal, if you'd have told me 4 points, I would have been happy no matter which way it came. So we'll take the two road results for sure as we come back into Orlando, and hopefully can get some 3-point non-cardiac games coming in here, and can really continue the reversal trend of how the season had started. Mike, your thoughts on the match, and are you blaming Pedro more than anything else?
I mean, the thing with the second goal especially is this is a problem we know with Pedro. Pedro parrying the ball into not the most ideal place is something here. Like, that's a regular thing. We're used to that. We see it frequently. It's still upsetting that it's, you know, one of the best keepers in the league, and it's a problem that he's consistently having. But, you know, it's just one of those things he's got to be better with. And the getting himself caught in no man's land on the first goal was also just kind of frustrating, because, like, he couldn't even really dive to try and make an attempt at the ball, because then he would have gotten a red card and a penalty. Like, he really got, you know, caught between a rock and a hard place, and it just ended up with the ball being in the back of the net. So it's one of those things, you know. Yeah, he's made a couple good saves here and there, but at the same time, like, the regression has still been pretty heavy, and he's just got to be better. You're the second highest paid goalkeeper in the league, you know, like, plain and simple, the second highest paid goalkeeper in the league. You have to be better than what you're doing right now. Obviously, with that being said, though, you take points on the road in this league. They're not always that easy to come by. So this, you know, road point is always a good point to get, especially when it looked like we were on the verge of losing it. So that's definitely nice. But it's, if anything, I'm leaving this game with still having more questions than answers as far as what is our attack supposed to be. So,
yeah. And you mentioned that second highest paid goalkeeper, and the highest paid goalkeeper was the goalkeeper of the year and is continuously a game changer. So, you know, you kind of expect something along those lines. Pedro's been that way for us in the past, but y'all think it's time to move Mason in, look for, you know, start kind of dabbling in the goalkeeper realm at all, Cleon?
I mean, I guess it depends on how much faith you got in Mason. Me personally, I mean, what we have seen him for stretches. I mean, he's had good games, but I mean, we've seen him do a lot of stuff that we're seeing Pedro do. You know what I mean? So, I mean, okay. I mean, if you think he's an upgrade at this point, then I mean, I guess go for it. But me personally, at least not from what has been shown from him. I'm not saying he's been bad, but he's just been just stock average goalkeeper, I guess. Which, I mean, at this point, I guess maybe he's just praying for stock average from Pedro at this point. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe. I mean, Pedro, you gotta just assume until he proves you right. You gotta just assume that he's gonna get out of this little whatever he's in. I mean, we used to call it the yips for like Dom and dudes like that, but I don't know what you call it for a goalkeeper, but it's like he's got the yips. And you got to assume he's just going to come out of it because, I mean, he's never been in one like this where it's game after game after game consistently. So for now, I mean, you would just have to assume he's going to come out of it. And I don't know at what point that line where it's okay, it's gone too far. You know what I mean? To where you just pull the plug. For me, I haven't gotten there yet. But I would definitely, if I'm losing Ricardo, I'll keep my eye out there, man, for that window coming, or even if there's somebody on the free, I might be bringing in some comp. Honestly, I would at least be bringing in, looking to bring in some competition, to where okay, where because I feel like right now it's Pedro or bust. You know what I mean? It's like I said, Mason, I don't have that much faith in him as far as I don't think he's looked terrible or bad when he's been in, but he's definitely had a lot of these same moments we've seen. So I don't have too much faith in our roster beyond Pedro when it comes to the goalkeeping ranks. So I would definitely be keeping an eye out. If there's, I'm sure there's goalkeepers out there, bro, that's you know, that's on a free maybe or something like that. Even if it's an older one, because right now you need something, bro. You need something. And what you need is for Pedro to turn it around, because like you said, we're paying this man a lot of money now at this point, and we just paid it. So unless the wheel's about to use a damn buyout, which I doubt, you're pretty much stuck with it. So you better hope he comes out this funk. So for now, it's a little early to pull the plug, but definitely not too early to be. It's probably too late, and we probably already should have been already looking for, you know, competition or backups. Because I mean, what if he wasn't even playing this bad and he just got injured? You know what I mean? So our depth in the tens and center back and defensive midfield and goalkeeper, you got to start to shore these things up, man, because you can't just keep hoping everything works out. You know what I mean? And have all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah, I've never felt like Pedro was like ever close to losing a spot, but at this point I feel like he's like one major error away. Not like a ball pairing out or whatever, but you know, these errors that you see happen once every year or two, you know, for each team, like these, like, you know, these just crazy goalkeeper errors. He's like that away from, like, I think Mason getting a shot, which, like you said, isn't like super reassuring.
I haven't seen this since, let's put it this way, I haven't seen this since Brian Rowe, bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
And remember, I mean, Brian Rowe was just getting shit like match every three games?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Mike, you think it's time to worry? I mean, I, like you said, we pay him so much. You can't really bring in any competition. Would be nice, but you're not going to bring in anybody worth a darn with the salary cap, and you can't really have, you know, $1.5 million, $2 million tied up on two keepers. So,
yeah, I mean, as far as we're tied by salary cap constraints and restrictions and whatnot like that, there's really not much that we could do as far as bringing somebody in. But I mean, I think as far as backup keepers are concerned, Mason is probably a little bit higher up in as far as the rest of the league goes, like as far as like quality that he offers. Obviously he's not without mistakes either. We know that, we've seen that, we've lived that. But I think as far as like backup keepers goes, he's probably in like the top half of backup goalkeepers for the rest of the league. Lower tier teams, he could potentially, you know, be a guy who fights for starts and stuff like that. But it's not something that's instilling confidence necessarily to want to go ahead and hand the gloves over to him and call it a day and just go from there. You realistically, like Cleon said, the best solution is Pedro figures it out. But Cleon, come on, man. Rule number one of the Yips is you don't say the word. Like, you're not supposed to say the word.
Yips. What's the goalkeeper? It's not, they don't, I don't know. I don't know what they get as Yips or something else. I don't know what you call it. But only thing, I don't know, man. I feel like we always use our lack of depth on this show. I feel like we always sum it up to, oh, well, you know, the cap restrictions or this, that, or whatever. But why? I don't understand why. I wasn't even really thinking about it till you just said it. But why do we even assume we're up against it like that? Because we've had the lowest salary in the league 2 years running. So if other people could bring in all this stuff, why we can't bring in a backup goalkeeper or a backup set or a backup center back or a backup defensive midfielder? Like our salary's like 8-9 mil, bro. And everyone else is way up. So it's like how I know all the rules are hidden and all the rules and get Tam again, all this type of stuff is hidden. But where's the money at? Because our roster is not expensive. It's cheap. It's the cheapest in the league.
No, you make a really good point. And I think next month, I want to say, it might be June, but I think it's next month is typically when the MLSPA drops their salary report. I'm curious what we're looking at. Like, I want to go ahead and go through and kind of do the math and try and figure out what we're actually dealing with. How much money we're actually spending, like, to see are we up against it? You know, I don't know. But I think it's gotten to the point to where we just have a lot of players who are now higher earners on the base salary scale. Like, we got more people that are closer to max contracts of, like, $675,000 than people that are making, like, $200,000 now. So that's my thought, is maybe that's where some of it's getting kicked in from. I'm not sure.
Just for me, with our salary sitting at 8.5 million for like the past 2 years running, like, and everyone else is even middle of the league is like they're even up around 14. In between like 12 and 14. We're way down there at the bottom. So it's like even though we're paying Muriel like 2 mil, mind you, only a fraction of that actually hits the cap. But even if we're paying him like 2 mil, and it's not like we're paying a ton off the books because our DPs aren't that expensive. in comparison to everyone else around the league. So it's, I just don't understand, why are we up against it? And if we're not up against it, why aren't we doing something about our depth?
I think what you said there is kind of a lot of it, because the, you know, those 12 to 14, 16 mil teams, a lot of it is off the book. You know, it comes with the DPs. You know, those guys are making 3, 4, 5 million. They got one or two of them. You know, for us, we use a lot of that allocation money. You look at Ricallo, he's a max TAM guy. Janssen's using TAM. You know, we had to buy down Cesar, who's that's all allocation money. And Pedro's got allocation money in his contract. You know, so I think a lot of it just comes down to, are we building the roster the right way because of the fact that you have a lot of that allocation money is just eaten up by guys like Brecalo and Pedro. You know, we had to buy down so we could get Muriel, and so it's, you know, these our salary numbers could be higher if we spent more on the DPs, but because we don't, I think a lot of that GAM and TAM is eaten up by these guys that I don't know about Angulo, but whatever we gave him, but I don't know if he's getting any of that go to buy him down or to use on his roster spot. But there's a lot of guys using that allocation money on the roster for sure with how we build it. I think.
Yeah. At least. I wouldn't.
The salary numbers came out and they were like, your salary is 8 million. This is how much allocation money you have. And this is how much allocation money is being spent.
So here's the thing that I wish we knew. I wish that they, it's great that we get the salary report. I wish we would get the cap hit report. Like, that's what I want to know, because we all know that part of what factors into this is transfer fee. Transfer fee factors into what someone's salary cap hit is. So I want to know what that cap hit is for some of these guys, so that way we actually have a legitimate idea of, you know, because we know Angulo's transfer fee was minimal, but he still has to have a portion of that factored into what his salary is. Like, it's just how it works with the way that the league does cap hits here. So it's annoying, but like, I'd love to know more of that information, because more times than not, we're just stuck guessing.
Yeah. I mean, if Angulo's making 400 grand a year,
he was making 400 grand last year. And like, you know, from what we heard, the transfer fee to get him in was about $1 million to keep him. So if that's prorated over the course of 3 years, yes, we're paying him $400,000 in salary, but his cap hit's realistically going to be $675,000, and we're using about $100,000 allocation money on top of that. Like, yep. That's the way that the league operates. And as I say this out loud, you guys understand how dumb all of this is. Make it easy.
Yeah, and that goes back to us not doing, you know, it's either high salaries or high transfer fees. It's not really a mixture of both. We're the most successful.
Like, we don't have either one, though. That's why I'm at a loss, because it's, we don't have high transfer fees and we also don't have high salaries compared to what we're around the league. So it's, why are we so up against it? If we are, if we even are, which I'm not too sure we are.
I'm going to go into the spreadsheets heavy once we get that information. I promise you that. You and me are going to have a Microsoft doc together that you and me are just going to work on. But
let's talk about, before we move on to the stock up and down, let's talk about Martin Ojeda. And he got the boot from the starting lineup after we won last week. And yeah, you know, it wasn't like he, you know, had a crazy impact last week, but I would say him starting led to Nico and Duncan coming in and getting the dub for us last week. And this week he gets the boot back on the bench, run into similar problems, and he comes in and is a super sub. Faku, once again, kind of, you know, ghost other than the penalty. For Faku, it doesn't seem all natural in that middle 10 position. And you know, it's tough. It's a big hot topic right now. Is what does Ojeda have to do to start? Feels like we've been talking about it for weeks, and he continues to produce. at this point, I'm thinking, you know, either he's just the absolute trashiest player in
training. That'd be a prop back monster.
I don't know. Faku's like the training star, all-star, or you know, he's got a bloody knife somewhere on for Oscar Pereja. I don't know what the deal is Faku has, but, you know, Hayda's a DP. He produces like a designated player of his transfer fee and his salary when you put him in the game, when you look at the numbers. So, you know, are you guys expecting to see him start, or do you have any ideas of why he's not starting going on?
My idea of why he's not starting is because Oscar's just married to Angulo's hustle. Point blank.
But why not for Faku? I mean, we're not even thinking about that.
They're not going to take Faku out. And besides that, I feel like that would be counterproductive anyway. So it's like, you know what I mean? Like, you have two DPs for, well, two of the three for a reason. If you just take one out to put one in, you're not really – I feel like you're just moving chairs around on the Titanic. You know what I mean? Just you're supposed to be adding – for me, you're supposed to be adding two, not just replacing. You know what I mean? It's like digging a hole then using the dirt. You're just filling it right back up, so it's – you ain't really doing nothing. So it's like I feel like you have to have both of them on. As far as how, I mean, I feel like the way they ran last week before Montreal, that's what they should have just ran out there again. Honestly, but I don't know, man. I don't know. You know, coaches have their systems, and coaches like what they like. And Oscar definitely likes what he likes. So, you know, he'll sacrifice attack for defense, which we ain't even been defending. So I don't know why he's so married to it this year. So, you know what I mean? Like, it's not even like it's effective. Last year, you could at least make the argument, but this year we're not winning, and we're not even defending. So it's, I don't know why we're so married to it. At some point, I'd be like, screw it. Y'all ain't going to defend. Let's try to win in the shootout. But, you know, that's me.
Speaking of goals, what's your thoughts on Muriel with none and Duncan?
It's so hard to judge anybody. When it comes to goals, man, it's so hard to judge anybody on this team. Because there's just nothing happening. So it's like how Duncan, I said this already, Duncan scores because he just does his own thing. You know what I mean? And you're starting to see it more in the news and pundits saying, you know, somebody, I don't know who it was, somebody said that Twelman even said something on a broadcast on, you know, he says he makes selfish runs and things like that. And he runs for himself and this, that, whatever. But who the hell cares if what he's trying to run for is a goal? You know what I mean? Ain't that what you're out there for? So, I mean, it comes down to what's good in theory and what's good in practice. You know, for me, I'm, you know, what's good in practice. If I say, I want you, Alex, and I want you, Mike, to do this so we can accomplish this goal, and y'all are just doing your own thing and you're accomplishing it anyway, me personally, I'm just going to run with it. Be like, okay, it's working. You know what I mean? I'm not going to get hung up on, oh, it's not my way. But it's just so hard, man. Like Faku ain't scoring goals. People always get blinded by he's stealing people's PKs. So it's like, you know what I mean? He ain't really scoring goals, though, not in a run of play. Muriel drew that. So, I mean, who really got us the goal?
Yeah. Well, Faku had nothing to do with that. Possession.
And I'm not trying to bash Faku on this. I'm just saying, like, we come out of another game where Muriel doesn't score on the stat sheet, but who's really responsible for that goal we had? I mean, who's to say if somebody else didn't take the PK, you think there was no chance they were going to make it? Most likely they're going to make it. If you put Kyle Smith up there, most chances, more than likely, he's going to make it. So, I mean, people can get blinded by, you know, who's what the stat sheet actually says as far as the goal, when it, especially when it comes to PKs, like, you know. For me, Muriel this past game, I guess he did what he was supposed to do. He's supposed to create us a goal, and he created one. Whether it was for the flop, whether he drew a foul cleanly, whatever. But he got us one. We didn't get an L. Didn't win either. It's just I don't know, man. This seems so difficult, man. They're so difficult. Like you just don't know what you're gonna get from them.
Mike, if you were Oscar Perea, what's your best lineup out of those? I mean, those, I guess, five guys, because you assume the double pivot's going to start. You assume the back four is pretty much in there. We talked about Pedro. He's pretty much in there. You know, between Angulo, Ojeda, Faku, and then Duncan and Muriel, who are you starting?
So – it seems like, at least for the time being, Poppy is married to trying to make Faku work at the 10. So I'm fine with giving that another run out for a week or two, realistically, to see if we can start getting something out of it. But we're not getting enough out of Muriel. And Nico Ladero as right wing, just, dude... that was one of my biggest frustrations this week, is I felt like him and Thorhalsson just did not connect at all. Like those two, their communication, their passing, their timing, it was off. And that's because Nico's not a right winger. Like he had his good moments when he cut inside and played a little bit more centrally, but like that's not where he's supposed to be on the field. And that's why it becomes a little bit of a problem. So for me, I think the best that we're going to see out of this team is that we're keeping Faku at the 10. I want Ojeda at right wing. I want Angulo at left wing. Those two can end up interchanging and switching throughout the game. And I'm starting Duncan up top. Now, I do think that Muriel technically is one of the best technical players we've ever had. But like as far as like the kind of guy that's going to score in Poppy's system as a lone nine, I haven't seen it yet. You know, and maybe the floodgates are going to open once he finally gets his first. I'm hoping that's the case because I want him to succeed here. We're paying him a lot of money. So, like, he hopefully feels pressure that he needs to succeed here. But, yeah, I think right now the best opportunity for us to be sitting in the best position to win games should be Duncan McGuire starting up top.
I agree. It worries me that he's maybe on the way out, but right now you got to get results and, you know, making, it's just how the question, the big question is how long is the leash to let Mario gel in, you know, is it 10 games? Is it 15 games? Is that whole season? You know,
and
what's the game?
And that's the thing is like, I understand the thought process behind keeping him starting. We need him to get comfortable and to figure out how to play with his teammates. And we need him to figure that out by the time that Duncan's likely gone, you know? So realistically, it makes all the sense in the world to keep starting Muriel to get him in a situation to where he is now acclimated and he's firing on all cylinders. But at the same time, isn't your objective to put the best lineup on the field and win freaking games? Like, and I feel like right now, Duncan McGuire is the best chance we have at scoring and winning games. Until Muriel proves me wrong.
Okay. I'm with you on that.
Real quick, and like, I know we focus a lot on if Muriel's gelling or whatever, but can we honestly say anybody else has gelled with each other? Because outside of the only people I can honestly say they gel with each other and they know how to play with each other is Angulo and Faku know how to play with each other. That's it. Maybe you could say Duncan, but Duncan kind of just does his own thing. To his credit, mind you. To the same way how I say it was to Nani's credit, where Nani's be like, you know, screw this, I'm doing my own thing. And he used to work. But as far as gelled, like, I almost feel like we focus it too much on one player, and it's like, because Faku gelled with Ojeda, absolutely not. Not to me. Ojeda and, you know what? Ojeda and Angulo seem okay somehow, which is weird because they used to be in the same spot of the pitch. But they seem to know how to navigate each other and not get in each other's way. But Facu with Ojeda doesn't seem gelled with him at all. Facu with literally anyone that's not Angulo. They're not really gelled. So it's like our whole team. Muriel's not gelled with anyone. Where do we even blame this on? Is this just coaching? Is this just I feel like our preseason, and it's been this way, and it's bothered me for like the past three seasons at this point, where I feel like we get important pieces in the attack. And it's like, I know sometimes we have people missing and we have this, that, or whatever going on. Sometimes people are going for paperwork and this, that, or whatever. But it seems like we never use the preseason to force all those dudes in there to play together and learn each other during the preseason when it doesn't count. It seems like we always wait until the season's already started. We did this when Facu came in. And it was like, I swear it took Oscar like 9 friggin' matches to realize Facu's a right inverted winger. Because remember, he kept putting him over there on the left and he was useless. And I was like, bro, has he watched any of his tape? The dude's like all cutting in and central. And that's literally all he was doing at Penderol, was all right wing, central. Yes, he was going to left, but when he's going to left, he was ghost. Because literally the only thing he can do from out there is cross, and he's not that great of a crosser, to be honest. Ojeda's excellent at it. But it took him forever to figure out where he's supposed to be instead of using that during the preseason. And we just had so many guys. It just seems like they never know how to play together all through the preseason. And it's like, people's like, oh, we need time to gel. But I mean, other people's bringing in coaches, bro, bringing in coaches brand new, flipping players. And why seems like we the only ones that ever need that excuse to, we need time to gel.
Yeah. I mean, even the double pivot last year, would it take 12 matches? 14 matches to figure that out.
Like, Ojeda, Carr McGuire. Took forever.
I feel like the defense has gelled really well. I think the goals that we're giving up isn't it's not all where it should be on paper. And I think a lot of that's because of Pedro. But, you know, you look at the two center backs, they're gelling pretty well, in my opinion. The double pivot was back. It was gelling pretty well. Dagger Dan, he just tries to gel with anybody. You know, he's kind of like Duncan. You know, he gets himself in position and makes stuff happen.
I've never realized that, but I think he's spot on with that. He does his own thing.
He generates it for himself. You know, how many times have we had fullbacks on the back post in consecutive matches? I mean, he almost had another one this past match. So he kind of just makes it happen for himself. Muriel, he's trying to feel like he's the opposite, where he tries and makes everything happen for everybody else, but not for himself. And I'd like to see him get a little bit more selfish personally. You know, Tolman's like, if that was a negative comment about Duncan making all the selfish runs, I want my striker to be as selfish as humanly possible. That's what I want. That's in any sport where people score anything, goals, baskets, touchdowns, whatever it is,
bro.
Dude, you want that? If you know the ball's at the 2 yard line and you call the fade to the wide out, and the wide out, you know, it's not a good pass and incomplete, you know, you want your running back to be pissed off. You want him to be selfish. You want him to give me the ball, you know, in the opposite way for the wide receiver. Like you said, in basketball, you know, you're the best scorers, the you know, Michael Jordan's maybe one of the most selfish players in the history of the game. Kobe Bryant, same thing. You know, you look at these guys that make an impact and win championships, it's because they are selfish. So I want my striker not to be selfless, which is, I get a lot from Muriel. I understand what he's trying to do, but it's like forgetting Sarah Marshall. Like, do less. you know, like do less, just try less. Just get yourself in the box, get to the, one of the posts, and get a goal in first before you start doing all that other stuff. And like, I appreciate
And I see this happen with a lot of guys that come into the league. Let me rephrase that. A lot of guys, I see them guys that I'm used to being at a higher level than this, coming to the league. And they think they can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it seems like it takes them a while to realize, okay, these dudes might not be the most technical players in the world, but they're not just going to let you just sit out here and just do whatever the hell you want with no pushback, no defending, no physicality. You know what I mean? And a lot of what they think they can pull off, like they're on a playground, just ain't going to work. You know what I mean? Nani actually had to do it, but he learned pretty quick. You know what I mean? But even Nani, when he first got here, he was, you know, same thing. He come and think he could just do whatever little trick he wanted, and it was going to come off because I'm used to playing here, and these dudes in MLS. You know what I mean? So I think Miura has to the guys that struggle when they come are the ones that don't realize that to be successful, they still have to play hard. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's not your skill level alone isn't just going to get you over here, because for whatever lack of technical ability they have here, the physicality is tenfold. You know what I mean? Kind of Uruguay is kind of the same way. That's, I guess, is why those guys come in and they don't really struggle that much. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's not that different. Faku had to deal with it a little, and he still kind of does up here and there, you know, with the physicality and things like that, where he thinks, you know, guys are just going to let me do whatever I want to do without laying a hand on me. And then they learn quickly that's not the way it works here. So once Muriel, the light comes on, be like, okay, it ain't that easy here. You know what I mean? To where I could just come in and do whatever the heck I want and score 30 goals without even trying and da 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 da. Only person I ever seen do that here was Slot, who came in and literally just came in and that. But I mean, at the same time, it's freaking Zlatan, who's physical as hell himself. So it's, you know what I mean? He's one of the few guys that's going to come in, not going to be able to get bullied like that. So outside of him, maybe Jovinko. There's not too many dudes that just come in and it's just like, I can do whatever I want without even trying.
A guy that stands out to me that was kind of like that his first year or two in MLS was David Villa. He was felt like he was trying to do a lot, you know, and try and be the guy and create all these things. And was that third year they won the cup, and it was because, or fourth year, he just cut the crap and was like, I'm just going to score goals. Everybody else can do what they got to do, but I'm just going to get myself into that goal scoring position. And that's what he did. So I think Murray will come around, but it's just, how long are we going to give him? How long is it going to take? All right, let's quickly do a stock up and stock down. Mike, you want to start?
Yeah, stock up, stock down. I'll keep it simple. My stock up, Ojeda, start the man. Especially like seeing just the connection that he had with Duncan Maguire for the little 1-2 on that goal to tie it up late. You know, I don't see him having that connection with Muriel. I don't see him having that connection with the Jack Lynn. Like, you know, that was great. And he had 15 minutes to work with, 20 minutes to work with, and he made an impact on the game. So whatever he's not doing in training, he's doing it on the field when it matters. Like, start him.
Practice. You talking about practice?
There we go. Iverson, what's up? Stock down. I mean, I can go a couple different routes realistically, but I'm just going to – I'm going to go ahead and just kind of go with – I'm gonna go with Faku, just because I feel like that my biggest gripe with him is that for him playing as a chance creating 10, which is what he's supposed to be right now, he created zero chances. Like, the job that you got put on the field to do, you did not do. So he's got to get more dangerous. So
Clear.
Stock up. I'm gonna go double pivot. Finally looked like what they were supposed to look like, and they've been looking like what they're supposed to look like for the past two games, and hopefully that trend keeps going because they are literally the key to everything we do. So a good two game sample size, and hopefully it keeps going forward. And hopefully they got it under control. Roeder, you got through another game, didn't get a red. Congrats. Stock up to you. Stock down, I'm going to go. I guess they ought to go Pedro. I'll take the stock. I'll keep the stock down on him until he gets through a game without a costly goal causing mistake.
And before Alex goes in, I just want to go ahead and give a shout out to the Manscaped League One, our fantasy football league. We had a real good discussion in there today talking about the spine of this team, and we feel like there is some belief that things can turn around because of the fact that the spine of our team is finally looks the way that we expected it to, is starting to look better. So your shout out, your stock up was in line with that. So, and especially Alex said he was going to, that was his stock up too. So
that was literally my stock up.
My bad.
For sure. No. We're on the same page. You know, they're, like I said, no game rule. Number two with him fully back. So
there's no rule that says we can't have the same stock ups, you know?
No.
Yeah, but it is.
We have no choice, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I take a double pivot. I give a shout out to Angulo because he looked a lot better. He got his goal. So, and guy doesn't stop running. You got to give him that. He was in the position to score, and that's all you can ask for in the 90th minute. So, I give him a shout out too. My stock down is Muriel for sure. Pedro's, I don't know if my stock can get much downer for him, so I'm gonna go with Muriel because I've been a believer. I've been a patient guy with him, but my patience is starting to wear thin. And especially when you got a guy like Duncan McGuire off the bench, and you know that he can convert and make the chances and be a game changer. He hasn't shown any, you know, slowing down to that at all. Maybe a little bit, but not as much as people were even expecting for his second year regression compared to, you know, everybody's talking about his expected goals last year and how he outperformed and this and that, blah, blah, blah. You know, Duncan almost won the damn game. He was 2.5 inches away from winning the match and getting a crazy volley off of a header. And, you know, that's just the position that he puts himself in. You know, you can't, unless he could tell the future, you got to be in the right position to be there in that spot to even hit that volley and get it that close. You know what I mean? And he was there. So, I you know, it's Muriel for me is stock down just because Duncan is so good and you know what he's going to give you. And when a team needs goals and you got a guy like that on the bench, the pressure's on. So I give it to Muriel.
Another extra stock down. Alex has triggered me on that one. Extra stock down to XG nerds. they were calling for Duncan's demise all year because his XG was so high. Because his XG, he was overperforming his XG. Like, that's not
it,
what
don't matter.
He was doing that in college. That's what he does.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It's like Wondolowski, bro. It's like you go. I never understood the he would have this massive regression type of deal. Unless he just stopped playing hard, that's literally his thing.
Yeah, I agree. And I was saying that a lot in the preseason. I'm not
what he does.
You could make it a reason why he might regress, but until he shows you otherwise.
Nah, people talk like it was certainty, bro. Like I didn't get that. Never did.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Let's move on to preview the match against Toronto at home. Feels like a game that you circle at the beginning of the year as a game that a win is the only option. You know, Toronto, obviously a historically bad team last year. I think Insigne is still out for them.
Supposed to be, yeah.
You got news. Yeah, he's supposed to be out, you know, and they're obviously traveling a long way. They're not. I mean, obviously, they're a little bit better than last year, but that ain't hard to do when you're historically bad. and they're missing one of their key pieces. So it's a game that we should win and really, you know, need to win to get everything rolling. It's a game where we can start to get maybe guys like Muriel to get in and get a goal or two. And if not, Duncan come in and probably capitalize just like he did last year against Toronto. He liked to play them. So we'll see what the starting lineup is when we come out. I'll start with the prediction. I'm going to say 3-1 for the good guys with Orlando City. I'll say we get a penalty and Faku converts. And I'll say it's hard for me to say this, but I'll say Murillo gets at least one, I think. And if not, Duncan will get at least one. One of those guys is getting one, maybe two. So I'll say that, whoever starts. Cleo, your prediction?
I'm going to go 2-1 win, Orlando.
Who's scoring?
I'm going to go Duncan, not in order, because he'll probably be brought off the bench again. I'm going to go Duncan, and I'm going to go let's see who's going to get one this week. I'm going to say N'Golo. I'm saying N'Golo gets another one back-to-back.
Okay. All right. Mike, you've been right on the predictions this year.
Dude, like three of the last four I've been right. And realistically, if I put like $10 down on each of them, including the last game, I called 2-2 draw. If I put like $10 down on each of them, like they would have paid out at least $100 each, which just makes me hurt.
If you would put money on them, you would lose them.
No. Yeah. Well, that's true. Here's the thing, though. If that meant that I was getting the result wrong and we were winning, I wouldn't care. I'd be content losing that $10 every week. Because that's the thing. I want to score goals, man. I want to score goals. I want to win games. But I am going to Mike Stradamus this one. Three of the last five games for Toronto, they have given up three goals or more. I'm going to go 3-0 victory for Orlando City. I think Oscar Pereja is going to get the lineup right, and the fact that he's going to start Martin Ojeda and Duncan Maguire because they deserve it, and both of them are going to get a goal. And then I'm going to go ahead and go with a David Brecalo set piece. He's going to get one. So
he's dangerous.
Dude, he is very dangerous. We saw that on his tape, and literally that was another thing too. They got like those four or five consecutive corners at the end of the game, and literally three in a row were incredibly dangerous from Martin Ojeda. Like, I want him taking all of our corner kicks. And he can't take the corner kicks in the beginning of the game from the bench.
It feels like if he was taking all the corner kicks, he'd probably have at least one, maybe two Olympicos a season if he was doing them all.
He's close, man. Like, he comes so close. And I don't know. Sean Johnson hasn't been really that great for Toronto. Like, maybe it's time, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. All right, shout-outs. Anybody want to start? You guys have shout-outs ready? I got one.
Go for it, man.
Shout-out the Orlando Magic because I'm sorry, man. Anytime I get my hopes up, I'm thinking they're coming. But I watch this team a lot in the regular season, and I watch this team now, and it's just apparent what's going on.
It's been apparent for years.
They are missing a guy, but they are coached really well, almost too well. And I would argue that during the regular season, they play harder than everybody else because of how well they're coached. And they have a young team, and they want to prove everybody wrong. And they give their A game every single night when you have teams coming off of, you know, home and homes and back-to-backs and all this. And those teams are giving their B minuses. And then the Magic win 46 games because of that. And then you hit the playoffs and every team is given their A game, including the Magic, who's playing the same A game that they've played. They're playing all these teams now that they played in the regular season that were given their B minuses, and now they're getting their A's, and they're just getting swept the floor with, you know, they are, it has not been pretty the first two games. So I'll hope they could turn it around. But if not, next time we come on, I'll be shouting out the sweep because they have not looked dangerous whatsoever. They haven't had a lead in either game. And I mean, I think they've been down for 10 points or more for like they played 96 minutes. I think like 90, 92 of those minutes they've been down by double digits or something like that. It's been ugly. So
hey, look, I hope they get better. I've been saying this for so long, and I started saying it when I used to watch basketball only. But this is a sports wide thing. What you were just saying. You do not add players to your team. You do not look for players, and you select players based on they play hard. You pick players based off of their skill levels, then you make them play hard. Anyone can play hard. That is just effort, right? You just got to have the right coach and make sure that's what they do. That's their job. But you can't just will somebody into all of a sudden being able to shoot a basketball or dribble and this goes all sports. This is for football. This is for soccer. This is everything, bro. You have to draft players based off of their skill level, and then you make them play hard. Make good players play hard. Don't draft players that don't have skill sets, but they play hard.
The best thing about the Magic is this is, I think, the best team that they've had to attract a free agency.
Oh, for sure.
In the history of the Orlando Magic.
Exactly. Not
you
any
know,
to go
when back. You have Dwight Howard and Shaq and Penny, you're like, it's hard to find a guy to want to come and be 1B. But when you look at the team that we have, if we get a guy like Trae Young, he comes in, he's 1A immediately, you know, and I don't think it'll be difficult to attract a quote unquote superstar to play with this team because they're ready right now. So, you know, I think that's the one benefit for the Magic. This year obviously was never going to be the year, but if we would have got the 2 seed somehow, we'd have been literally, I think, the most overrated 2 seed in the history of the NBA. But yeah, I mean, I've never seen a team so built to attract a superstar and at least give it a shot 1 or 2 years. So hopefully that happens. What's your shout out, Cleon?
I jumped on yours, so I'm gonna say that was a dual shout out at this point. Go ahead, Mike, wrap it up.
Well, yeah, first when you
overachievers.
When you were doing that shout out though, when you were talking about, you know, production in the regular season and then how you doing it in the playoffs and how things change, I thought for a second you were going to try and just tie it back to what happened with us last year, and I was like, oof, low blow.
No, I didn't go that far yet. I compared him to Faku though, in the Manscaped League One chat. You know, it's like they try really hard all the time, but then like when it matters, you know, it's like that's not good enough. But like in practice and like maybe on like on the Saturday night when Toronto's played midweek and they're coming in, like, yeah, you can convert, but like when it comes down to the playoffs, it's a lot harder and you can't really step up for the A game. That's kind of what we've seen with some of our guys.
Yeah. And I was just saying, I thought it was funny that, you know, I was making that comparison there. I'm not going to go ahead and rub it in the Magic fan faces about how I'm feeling about my Knicks right now. So I'll keep that to myself, but I am going to go ahead and just give the veiled shout out, to the brewery that we've been talking to about trying to do a little watch party action and something special that might go along with it. So again, pay attention to socials. Tentative date right now is 6-1, which is our away game at New York Red Bulls. So if you're not traveling, opportunity for you to come out and hang out with us, we'll be there. And again, as soon as we got more details, we'll be getting them out to you, but hopefully, later this week, we'll have more information and we can get that to you, but we're excited about it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
We are excited about that. Hopefully it'll be a big night. We'll be doing hopefully some giveaways and things like that, but yeah, a lot more to come. As you said, Mike, a lot more to come. So, and I will say this about the Magic. If Orlando can only have one good team, screw the Magic. Get out of here. Lose as fast as possible so Orlando City can get back on it. So that's it. That's all. Anybody else got anything else to add? We did pretty good on timing. It wasn't too bad. I was a little worried, but we sped it up at the end.
Oh yeah, we definitely rambled a little bit in the middle sections there.
We had some good talks. I think a lot of people wanted to hear, you know, the Ojeda talk and the Pedro talk.
We kept it measured, which is good.
Definitely the Muriel talk, because that seems to be a big one. With
point of contention with the for fan sure. Base.
Yeah, for sure. So, all right, cool. Well, we appreciate everybody for listening. As always, like Mike said, keep an eye out on the socials, and we'll be on Then After Dark on Saturday after the match against Toronto. If you're not going to be there, hop in. If you're going to be there, we usually do it while you're driving home. So tune it on as your post-game show. We'll talk, get our hopefully our good feelings out. Usually after we win, it's like the not so awesome Den After Dark because everybody's so happy and content, but we're hoping for a win. I'm hoping for a boring Den After Dark. That always makes for that means that something went right.
Boring dad is always better than let everyone be angry dad.
Yeah, I agree. All right, y'all. Well, we appreciate y'all for listening. Thank you guys for following. And as always, vamos Orlando. See you.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Orlando Lions Den podcast. Don't forget to follow us at Orlando Lions Den on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. See you next week in the Den.